morning, our message comes out of Matthew chapter 10, looking at verse 27 mainly, but we'll be looking some at verse 26 as well. The evangelist had finished his message. Then he invited anyone who wished to come forward with any decision they wanted or felt like they needed to make. He watched one young woman in particular who came to him with tears in her eyes. And he asked her what her decision was. She said, "I'd to follow Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus." The evangelist said, "How wonderful." And then he said, "Now your life will be complete. You'll know love and peace like you've never known before. You'll never be lonesome again because you'll have Jesus with you." To which she replied, "I hope that He can heal the troubles in my family." And then he said to her, "Well, Jesus can solve all your problems and do away with all your troubles." Now, in many ways, what he said was correct, but there's always has to be that "but" on there. Sometimes we can get the wrong idea. Come to Jesus and your troubles will vanish. Is that true? Well, the truth is, if those troubles concern sin and God's hatred and wrath towards sin, yes, those troubles will completely vanish. But, in all honesty, ladies and gentlemen, did Jesus ever promise a trouble-free, easy time for His people? Did He promise healed relationships and harmonious families? Look at what He said to those who were following Him. We read those verses in 16 through 26. Of all the different things that would take place, that they would be like sheep in the midst of wolves, that they would be persecuted, that rather than bringing family harmony, there would be disharmony. Now, can you imagine being that televangelist after reading what Jesus had just said, and then the young lady comes forward and he says, "Well, congratulations. I'm glad you came forward. Now prepare to be persecuted." Prepare to have some discord in your family. Prepare to be hated by the world. That doesn't sound quite that comforting, does it? Might make some people just spin around on their heel and walk right back to where they came from. But Jesus would have us to know that there are troubles that can come when we follow Him. But also, at the same time, He gives words of encouragement. In verse 26, He begins by saying, "Therefore," well, what's the "therefore" for? For what was written before, the different persecutions and troubles and trials that would come their way for His name's sake. He said, "Therefore, though, do not fear." Do not fear. And then in verse 28, "Do not fear." And then in verse 31, "Do not fear." So the words of encouragement begin to come after the explanation of what things will be like. "Fear them not, the persecutors. They don't do anything to you that they haven't already tried to do to me. Now that puts things in a different perspective, doesn't it? Jesus said, don't fear the persecutors because they're not going to do anything to you that they haven't already tried to do to me. And then he'll ask the question, is a student above his master? That is, do we have the right to think that or expect that we would be treated better than he was? Now that turns the cat around, doesn't it? That makes a whole different perspective. Because so often Jesus is marketed as the answer to every single trouble and trial in your life. And yes, he can give us strength so that we can be content in any circumstance. And he gives us wisdom to deal with people. There's no question about that. But in following Christ, you can open a can of worms in your life. To where family will turn against family. Jesus says, and if you are persecuted, don't fear. Speak the truth that you've been given. Because those truths will be made known. In verse 26, he said, therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Boy, we have been talking when we went through that course, and it's going to be coming back in August on how to study your Bible. That we had during Bible school, we talked about the importance of getting things in context. Verse 26 is one of those major reasons that we get things in context. Because if you take it by itself, you might be thinking that things covered and revealed and hidden and revealed would mean maybe things that people have done and different sins in their lives or something like that. But no, that's not the case. The persecutors and such want to keep the truth down that Jesus has taught and want to keep his disciples from bringing it forth by persecuting them. But he says, don't fear. There's no way it can be held back. Now see how this verse in context what follows it. Verse 27, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Whatever I tell you in darkness. You know, there are times that Jesus spoke very plainly, and then there are times that he spoke in parables. And for his disciples, that was a difficult thing. Why do you speak in parables? If you turn to Matthew 13 and verse 10, we have that question being asked to him after he gave the parable about the different types of soil and the sower. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Hear that statement? Think about those words for a minute. In verse 12, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will not hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will not see, and not, you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. And your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. You hear what Jesus was saying? Jesus gives more info to some than he does to others. In fact, there are some that he even hides the truth from. Because seeing they wouldn't see anyway, and hearing they wouldn't hear in the first place. That's a picture not often spoken of. If we go to Luke chapter 18 and verse 10. Sorry, it's Luke chapter 8 and verse 10. Luke chapter 8 and verse 10. To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Then one last place in John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 25, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you'll ask in my name, and I do not say that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believe that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to my Father." In verse 29, his disciples said to him, "See, now you speak plainly and are using no figure of speech." And so when Jesus says, "Those things that I speak to you in the dark, those things that I tell you privately and plainly, those are the things that are going to be proclaimed by you boldly and publicly." To speak in the light means merely to speak in the light of day. And to publish it or preach it from the housetops means this. Most of these buildings were flat roofed. So there was an elevated place that someone could stand on and speak to a multitude if he wanted to. So let's look at a couple of things from what Jesus says here. First, the purpose of private discourse. The purpose of private discourse. What was the purpose of him speaking, quote, in the dark, privately to them? "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light." The purpose of him speaking privately to them is this: preparation. Preparation for what they were supposed to do. What Jesus taught his disciples was purely to prepare them for the mission that lay ahead. These were the things the general public was not yet ready to hear. Yet they would speak them in the light soon. For after the coming of the Holy Spirit, they would go forth boldly into public and proclaim those things that they heard from Christ. With the coming of the Holy Spirit, they would be ready to speak in the light. Friends, it's beyond comprehension. It's unbiblical and particularly foolish for someone to say, "I don't need any training to be useful to Christ." Jesus spent 3 years training his disciples. Paul went through a period of training with Christ as well. I heard one preacher say on TV that as soon as he was saved, he started preaching right away. He didn't need no school. He said, "I didn't need no school. I had the Holy Ghost." That's contrary to what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that those who proclaim for Christ have to go through a period of preparation and a period of instruction. We have examples from the book of Acts. We have Apollos. What an excellent orator he was. But you know, he didn't know the way of Christ completely. So what happened? Well, he had to be taken aside and have things further explained to him. And guess what? As soon as things were explained to him, he was even more useful. There is such a thing as reliance upon the Holy Spirit. I rely upon it. Any Sunday school teacher relies upon the Holy Spirit. When you witness to somebody, you rely upon the Holy Spirit. But you don't just walk coldly in with nothing in and expect to have something come out. That's true foolishness. It's unbiblical. We don't put our military out on the field and say, just go fight, men. We didn't turn them loose in Iraq and say, do whatever you feel like you need to do. They were trained. All soldiers must go through basic training, and then they have to go through further training as new technology and systems come up. Always being updated. George Washington, when he was commander of the Continental Army, was dead set on raising a standing army and thought the only hope we had to become a nation independent from England was to have our own standing army. He did not trust the militia. He didn't go with the idea that a man could put down his plow and pick up his rifle and be able to fight with any kind of organization. And he admitted it would be hopeless to try to win with militia. A trained army is what he eagerly sought. When it comes to training, it can be good and it can be bad. Training that causes some to question the authenticity and authority of the Bible is demonic. And it's dangerous. But I see it as no more dangerous than some of those things that untrained preachers have introduced into the church. Both cases are unbiblical. Both cases are dangerous. But I want us to see the great principle for all of us in what Jesus is saying. He says, "What I tell you, speak. What you hear, preach." The great principle that is given here, I give to you as simply as I possibly can. Something must be put in before something can come out. Something must be put in before something can come out. You have to receive before you can give. To be useful, something must be going in first. And my friends, that's true for me, it's true for every Sunday school teacher, but it's true for you as well. You're not exempt from what Jesus is saying. Which one of you as a believer is called to silence? Which one of you, when Jesus saved you, said to you, "Now be quiet. Don't say a word"? Which one of us, when Jesus saved us, said, "You don't need to tell anybody about salvation. Just keep it to yourself"? Y'all heard that line, haven't you? Well, you know, religion's a private thing. It's a private thing. It's what the devil likes you to say. He wants you to keep it private. But if we keep it private, what are we doing? We're going against what we have been commanded by Christ. How sad to see those who carry their Bible on Sunday and shelve them on Monday. That line that Charles Spurgeon said to his congregation one time stands true even today. He said, "There's enough dust on some of your Bibles to write damnation on the covers." Friends, our Bible is not part of our wardrobe. It's not an item that we carry on certain days and then put away the rest of the week. It's something that is there to be used every single day. And so he called them aside for preparation. Preparation was necessary. But the second point, the final point that I want to bring forth to you this morning is the great privilege. With preparation that is necessary, we see something else that comes out of this, the great privilege that we have. What's the privilege? It's covered in these words. Verse 27. Whatever I tell you. And then three other words. Whatever you hear. Whatever I tell you. Whatever you hear. What's the privilege that I'm getting at in this? The privilege is this. Jesus still speaks. He still speaks. He speaks to His people. And so we say today that Jesus can say to you right where you're sitting, whatever I say to you, whatever you hear, every single one of us, saved by God's grace, is a receptacle to receive the things that Christ will teach. But more than a receptacle, we are to bring forth those things. Jesus is with us now in a very real yet spiritual sense. He said that. Lo, I am with you always. He speaks to His people today, and I want to ask you today, when was the last time you heard Him? When was the last time you could say, I heard from Christ today? I'm not speaking about hearing some great audible voice from the heavens. But when in the stillness and silence of your heart, as you read His Word, did you hear Jesus speak to you? And friends, His voice is no further away than here. I want to hear from God. Well, open His Word. I want to hear from Christ. Open His Word. We can experience Christ's Word as spoken to us. Friends, He speaks now. Listen to what He says. Whatever I tell you in the dark. Notice when He said that, he didn't date it. He didn't say, now whatever I tell y'all disciples now, that's you keep it and then later bring it out. But His Word is timeless, and it says just as much to them as He does to you. Whatever I tell you. How do you know He's speaking to you? We have His Word. Look, we're not here, and our design in our Christian life is not to be, hey, tell me something new. I want some new kind of revelation. I want something that's never been given to anyone else before. We don't look for that. We look for the grand old revelation to be brought freshly into our hearts and minds by the power of His Spirit. He speaks today. How do I know that? Because He said this, my sheep hear my voice. Are you one of His sheep? I mean, what's the alternative? Well, I'm really not one of His sheep. Well, then that's a whole different problem, isn't it? But He says, my sheep hear my voice. And the question I ask again, are you hearing the voice of Christ? There's too much competition out there. was the last time you sat down with the Word of God and said, I want to hear from you today? Isn't it strange how we might feel content to go weeks without hearing our Savior's voice? What kind of Christian is that? My sheep hear my voice. So our response, according to the Word of God, should be this: speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. What I tell you in the dark, simply put, what I tell you privately, you have that privilege. Jesus will speak privately with you. He said to his disciples, come away to a lonely place, a quiet place. Why? You can just veg out, man, you know? Well, just practice harmonic convergence here, you know? Just all sit around this quiet place and hum. Feeling better now, don't you? Yes. It's getting better. Glad we came to this quiet place. What'd you get from that? Oh, we hum. We came one with nature. Nature hummed back to us. Sounds like when that happens, there's something in the bloodstream. Jesus will speak privately with you. Do you not grasp the depth of that privilege? Jesus will speak privately with you. Wow. Ought to be a selah after that. Meditate on that. Jesus will speak privately with you. Not to give you a big head. So you walk around and say, hey man, I heard from God today. Did you hear from God? Well, not yet. Well, man, He talked to me. Maybe later He'll talk to you. Maybe later. He doesn't speak to us privately that we might boast or be big-headed about it, or that we might flaunt it upon others. And we're not here each day to say, hey, well, I read 2 chapters in my Bible compared to your 3 verses. Because Jesus can speak as much in those 3 verses as the one who read the 3 chapters. But you've got to be exposed to it. It can't sit there on a shelf or on the coffee table or on the dashboard and be useful. Nor can you be useful if that's what you do with the Word of God. Jesus speaks to us to make us useful. And what better way to spend our lives? How grand a way to come to the end of our days. What's the greatest thing that you've done with your life? I believe I've been useful to my Lord and Savior. Been hearing a lot, especially towards the end of the Clinton administration, about a legacy. I want to leave a legacy. What do you mean by that? I mean, I want to be remembered throughout history for the things that I did. Well, my friends, there's going to come a time when history will be no longer written, recorded, or read. So the legacy that we would want to leave behind would be, I was useful to Christ. How do I be useful? By hearing Him. Spending time in His Word, that you might be useful to others. We can't do that by proxy. You can't say, well, Rick, you do the listening for me, okay? And then later you tell me what Jesus is supposed to be saying to me. That's only part of the scheme. You can't be in Brother Stan's class and say, well, I'll just leave it all to Brother Stan to give to me Sunday morning. Or in Donald's class and expect him to be your Holy Spirit. Him to be your Christ. To be useful means something must go in before something can come out. So I'm going to close by asking a couple of questions. What is it that keeps you from your Bible? What is it that keeps you from your Bible? Do you doubt that Jesus will speak? What if every time you picked it up to read, you say, I know He's going to speak to me today. But if you don't pick it up and you don't read it, are you saying then, I don't believe He speaks in those words and in those pages? Well, if that's the case, then you doubt His Word and you put yourself in the company of unbelievers. I'm not putting forth to you that reading a Bible is a work that you must do to be pleasing to God. What I'm saying is this, it's a privilege that you should partake in with great joy, because in these pages, your Lord speaks to you. I have heard stories and seen videotapes of places in remote countries where only one chapter of the Word of God has been so translated, and these people will clamor and almost fight for one page of the Word of God. And we have stores with shelves full of them and houses where at least everybody has at least one Bible, and yet so often it sits unread. How are we going to look in the end? We've had such a great treasure and privilege placed before us so easily. And we didn't partake in the privilege we had when there are others who can't even have a complete New Testament at this point. How does that make us look in the kingdom of God? May God grant that we have a hunger for His Word once again. That we will open these blessed pages and say, speak, Lord, for Thy servant is listening.